It's time for Over There with Mirella Rostroffer. Mirella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. She is over there. I always say somewhere. Again, suspicion is Switzerland, but one never knows. Hi, Mirella. How are you?
Yes. Hi, Jill. Very well. Thank you. Yes, from Switzerland with a topic that goes actually beyond any kind of borders. And it's the last UN climate report that obviously concerns all countries, but I'm going to talk about it under the light of a couple European countries. What did this UN climate report say? It's also called the IPCC report because of the way it's always written. I think one can say that it's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. So it actually really shows that it's a world report. Why do I take this topic today with you? It's because many European countries are really struggling to limit the emission of CO2, and many lawsuits are also going on between associations that defend the environments and the governments who are truly trying to limit those emissions, but are definitely in most cases really struggling. So this report showed that even just 1.5 degree warming could have potential huge consequences. Some of the dangers include, according this report, include ice melting at the poles, coral dying off, extreme heat situations, or extreme rain situations. Basically, all of these effects could affect hundreds of millions of people. Mr. Molina, Mario Molina, Chemistry Nobel Prize in 1995, implies that while it would be theoretically possible to counter all of these climate changes by taking some decisions, it might be too late until we already we are able to control our energy system and all the sources of climate pollutions. So this is quite pessimistic. But because between the issuing of a report and actual decisions, there is always a huge gap, and time can pass by very fast, as we know. On top of it, these kind of reports are obviously always very controversial, and they are taken very seriously by some and absolutely not by others. That has also, of course, direct implications on the speed of what to do and how to do it. According to this report, emissions need to be cut by 45% by 2030, which give us like 10 years time, and that is realistically said quite a short amount of years. So in order to give to this report also some more concrete examples, I chose to talk today about a lawsuit that took place in Netherlands, and where the result of this lawsuit happened this week, and this is really interesting. It was a lawsuit between the Dutch Urgenda Foundation, which is a foundation that aims for a fast transition towards a sustainable society. That is suggested to be done through mobility, so meaning e-cars, e-trains, e-boats, through energy altogether with 100% sustainable energy, renewable energy by 2030. And by taking care of all buildings, making sure that there is a proper isolation and that the source of heating is a clean one. So this week, the Dutch Urgenda Foundation had a huge victory because they won against the state in Netherlands, and the judge ordered the state to increase emissions cuts. This is an historic legal order because what was planned was about 17% planned cuts until 2020. But this is definitely not considered enough, and the state is ordered to do more in that respect. That means, for example, for the state, that a newly opened coal power plant would have to be closed in order to even have a chance to meet the new new cuts. So I think what's really interesting is that the judge, which name is Mr. de Sonneville, ruled that climate change is a grave danger and that the Dutch government cannot hide behind other countries' emissions. Of course, this is the classic argument very often for countries, is to say, why should we go through such changes and spend so much more money while our direct neighbors, for example, are doing much less, and basically we are all breathing the same air and we are all under the same sky. But the judge seemed to find that this is not an acceptable excuse, and that one has to do whatever is possible in its own country, with the hope, of course, that other countries would follow that path. Also, there were some questioning about how much sense it makes for states and companies to fight that legally, instead of basically putting that money in some precise and concrete measures in order to save our environment. So I thought this is an extremely interesting topic because it looks like time is of the essence, and considering the substantial amount of issues that our world is facing, it's interesting to see that the environment is slowly but surely becoming one of the top three issues for any present and future government. Another small example of what the city of Amsterdam is doing for the environment, I thought was very interesting, is to, as we know, Amsterdam has this gorgeous canals that are like streets in the city, where one has boats. It's a huge business, obviously, for tourists to have companies with boats on the Amsterdam canals. And one company was taken as an example, as they are forced in Amsterdam to move from regular boats to electric boats until by 2025. So this is very soon. One company owned by the Cucci family has 32 boats and has already converted six boats into electrical boats. It's a massive financial investment, and it would eventually take many years for a family company to really benefit for such a change. But it seems like these boats are really appreciated. They are working. They can be recharged in 10 hours and last about 2 days. People were also asking questions about electricity and water, how dangerous that can be. And if any water gets close to a battery, there is a fuse that blows. The battery is isolated and sent a signal, an alarm signal. They have in Amsterdam also some projects of that same kind, with barges that travel through Europe, and that will be eventually also one day traveling with electrical power. So those are, this is just a small family example, and there are obviously many others, but I thought that it was interesting to mention it, because in spite of the financial burden, and in spite of all sorts of oppositions, it does look like if people are genuinely being concerned and scared about certain climate changes that might happen sooner than later, and are trying to make a little difference. Of course, in the frame of whatever is possible on a small scale. So this is definitely a topic that we will follow up in the future.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostroffer. Over there.
My pleasure.